Let's let the Lord know how thankful we are. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn around and hug your neighbor. Let them know how happy you are to see him in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. As you stand with me, we're going to the book of John, chapter number 1, just to give you a glimpse into what's going on. If you have not, how many's downloaded our church app on your phone? If you have a phone that can do the church app, how many of you are liking the church app? Isn't it a blessing? Man, if you don't like it, don't say nothing. But if you have an iPhone, you're blessed and highly favored of the Lord, you can download it there. If you're an Android user, we'll pray for you. Pray that God would convert you. But if you'll notice on that app, there is an event section. We try to keep it updated as to what's going on. We've got the rest of the year on there. We update it as we make changes, but we're trying everything we can to give you the tools to know what is happening. Just by way of reminder, they announced it tonight, the week of Thanksgiving. We will have Sunday night and Tuesday night. And then that, we just moved Wednesday up to Tuesday. This way, people can spend time with their families. I know people have different schedules, but we won't have any more off-night services this week, the rest of the year. We'll just do our prayer meetings, which will keep you posted. But haven't you enjoyed what God has done during this revival with Brother Poe? Just to give you a glimpse into what's happening in January, everyone say Missions Conference. This is a missions-giving church. Thank you for your support. But we have two fantastic speakers. And I would say you got to show up to find out who they are. But I want to go ahead and give you something to look forward to. This year, our Missions Conference speakers are Pastor Nathan Thornton and Pastor Kevin Borders. So you won't want to miss Missions Conference, because I'm telling you, it is going to be such a treat to have these two men with us. Amen. So look forward to that and make all plans to attend Missions Conference. John chapter 1, verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, these were disciples of John. Just to back up, let's go ahead and back up just to give you context. And John, verse 32, bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard John speak. These are disciples of John, but they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Amen. Ever since I woke up this morning, the three words of Jesus have been reverberating in my spirit, and I want to use that as a title tonight. What seek ye? What seek ye. Would you ask the Lord tonight to help us in this place? Lord Jesus, we've got to have that anointing, that opening of our eyes, the unstopping of our ears to hear what the Holy Ghost has to say. I pray for that special touch to rest upon this great people. In your mighty name of Jesus, we pray right now. Clap your hands unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated. There was a man whose name was Forrest Fenn. He was an antique and arts dealer who wanted to invite people on a real-life treasure hunt. In 2010, he hid a treasure chest with over $1 million worth of jewels and coins and artifacts and different things. And so he wrote a book called The Thrill of the Chase. In that book was a 26-line poem that was a map. It was full of clues trying to lead people on this treasure hunt. During the following 10 years, between 2010 and 2020, over 350,000 people tried to find that treasure. And five of those lost their life in doing so, until finally in 2020, a 32-year-old medical student found that treasure, then bringing it to Mr. Fenn, who was somewhere around the age of 90 years old, for verification before being allowed to keep the treasure for himself. Shortly thereafter, Forrest Fenn passed away. Since that time, various lawsuits have arisen since the finding of the treasure. But this one thing that I know, regardless of most of which those lawsuits have been frivolous, but one thing I do know, Mr. Fenn tapped into the curious nature of humanity. Knowing that nothing motivates people more than seeking after something. Curiosity is a trait given by the Lord, with the motive being that humanity would seek Him. Unfortunately, people, because their thoughts are evil and their nature is carnal, their curiosity shifts from seeking God to seeking things that are not pleasing to Him. And it becomes a self-serving characteristic that is evident all throughout Scripture. Because we are self-serving, if we are not frequent visitors to that altar, then we become nothing more than lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. It becomes what we want more than what we need. And we seek the pleasures of this world. We seek materialism. We seek popularity. We seek accolades and achievements. But can I rise today to tell you that the same thing that got us here is what's going to take us there? It's not going to be money, popularity, power, fame, or pleasure. But what got us to where we are is we sought Jesus. And if we're going to make it to the other side, it's going to be because we continually seek after the Lord. Clap your hands unto Him. I come tonight under the mandate of the Holy Ghost to ask you the same question that Jesus asked those disciples of John. What seek ye? Are you seeking the approval of your peers? Or are you interested in the approval of God? Are you seeking monetary gain? Are you seeking heavenly treasures? Are you seeking things that are temporal? Or are you seeking the things that are eternal? See, we seek things that we don't know. or we don't have. Why would you seek for something you already had? You look for something you don't have. It's like when you ask them, did you find something? They say, yeah, it was in the last place that I looked. Well, I hope so. Why would you keep looking if you found it? Everything Scripture tells us to seek are things that our carnal nature does not have. Because if we had it, it wouldn't tell us to seek it. But Scripture instructs us to seek things because God knows that it is absent in our Adamic nature. And so all throughout Scripture, the Scripture tells us different things that we're supposed to seek after. And so I began to search and I began to find, what does the Lord, what does Scripture tell us to seek after? I want to start with this. The first thing is we should seek the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 4, you could put it on the screen, verse 27. Listen to this. The Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he share unto them. My friend, this is the instruction to Israel, and this is what the man of God said. He said, you're going to get reduced down to just a few, but you're not going to be extinct. You're going to serve gods, little g's, the works of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat or smell. In other words, you're going to be living and serving powerless gods that don't know who you are and don't have any ability to do anything for you. But I want you to know, he said, when you get in that place, if you'll just turn to me, I'm a merciful God. I'll still hear you. All you gotta do is seek after the Lord. Hey, God knew I'm going to bring them out of the world. I'm going to bring them out of Egypt. I'm going to bring them out with a strong hand and show them how powerful I am. And they're going to love me for a little while. And they're going to serve me for a little while. But they're going to get entangled once again amongst the world. Just like God brought you out of Egypt. Just like you was once infatuated with God. When everything was so new and so fresh. But what does the Scripture say? All we like sheep have gone astray. When we walked away from what we knew was our first love. And we got tangled up in the affairs of the world. We got tangled up in the things of the world. But hey friend, if you could just call on the Lord. If you just seek after to him, God says, I will be near. Somewhere along the way, you're here because you sought the Lord. This is why Jeremiah said, you shall seek me and find me. When ye shall search for me with all of your heart. When we stop seeking God, We start seeking to please self. When God is first, it's all about pleasing the Lord. But when you stop seeking to please the Lord, there's going to be that substitute that steps in called self. That's why the world can be described in one word, selfish. That's what pride is. Pride is selfish. Worried about you. And when you come to God, the opposite of selfish is selfless. I prefer myself less. I think of myself less. Because we're putting God above self. So you've got to seek the Lord. You know, there was a day when if the cow was going to give milk, it's because they sought the Lord. If the chickens were going to produce eggs, they sought the Lord. If the crop or the garden was going to produce, it's because they sought the Lord. I was talking to Brother Poe. I wish y'all could hear the stories that I get to hear because I just soak them up when we go eat. But he was saying, I went longer than 5 minutes, buddy. He said, when he was a kid in Texas, he said that his dad, this is what his dad was pastoring, there was a farmer in that church whose crop was fixing to go under because there was no rain. And so his dad got up at church and said, I want everybody who can to meet us tomorrow. And we're going to go walk through the fields praying. So he said, we showed up the next day. I was just a little kid. And he said, everybody just started walking through rows, touching corn, praying for rain or corn, whatever the crop was. I think he said corn. And he said, brother, when we got done praying, it come a rainstorm. And he said, the only fields it rained on was that person's fields from our church. He said, and I never forgot that. He said, as an adult, my pastor asked me to build a softball field. There was a tournament. They were having a tournament. And I told him I could do it. And he said, it got out there and it was a drought. And he said, the dirt wasn't right. And he said, I remember my daddy, when I was a kid, brought us to them fields. He said, I stretched so much hose out there, and I couldn't get no water to come out because it was such a long distance. He said, so me and that guy that was with me, he said, we're going to stand here, and we're going to pray for rain. He said, and we took off to praying, just like we did when I was a kid on them fields. And he said, wouldn't you know, it started raining. And he said, it only rained on that patch of ground. He said, the parking lot was dry, across the street was dry. He said, all we did was stand and start dancing on that field. Friend, if you'll seek the Lord, what we do is we seek every other avenue that we can fix, we can do. And I'm just as guilty. If we can fix it, then we'll do it. But I've learned that when God does it, it's always a whole lot better than when I could do it. But remember I talked about control? No, I wasn't here. I'm sorry. I've been preaching out so much. That was at another church I preached. I could preach it here, though. Man likes to be in control. And what happens is when we start getting out of control, we start panicking. When I was an evangelist, I got to where I would just keep a list of guys that I would go to after the next revival. And what would happen is when that list would start getting short, my flesh would start kicking in. And I'd start having men call me and I'd start scheduling things back to a calendar. And I can't tell you how many times the Saturday before I booked something on that Sunday, out of nowhere a man would call and say, can you come be with us? I feel like it's time for you to come. And because I took matters into my own hands, I had to miss out on what God was trying to do over here. We got to be careful of how much control we try to have over what happens in our life. I don't believe we should fly by the seat of our pants. I believe God gives us wisdom. But I believe that God allows life to unfold in a certain way to develop trust in us. That we can trust him in the hard times of life. If you can't trust him in the hard times, then what good is it to trust him in the easy times? Once you start seeking the Lord, look at what Jesus said. We need to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to start reading verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. He's talking to disciples. Take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Isn't it amazing how he hit the three biggest things in life? What are we going to eat? Eat, drink. What are we going to wear? That's some of the biggest decisions you make every day. I mean, eating's a big decision to me. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. They don't do anything to provide for themselves. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? In other words, if I can take care of the birds, are you not better than the birds? That's what he's asking. Are you doubting what I can do? If they don't go without starving, what makes you think you're going to go without starving? Then he goes, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Who can? What he's saying is, can anybody here by thinking, I wish I was taller, become taller? No. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like a lily in the field. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven. In other words, that grass is going to die. And he said, I still take care of it, even though I know it's going to die. Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So then he says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Then in parentheses, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, this is Jews he's talking to, the chosen, the elect. The Gentiles represented the world. And what he was saying is, the mindset of the world is, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? What am I going to drive? That's what the world thinks like. He said, don't think like the world, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, if you put God first, you seek the Lord, you seek his kingdom, you seek his righteousness, then you're not going to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drive, where you're going to live. All this, God says, I'm going to take care of all this stuff that you're so worried about. I'm going to take care of it. Therefore, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the end thereof. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. No, we're Gentiles by blood, but we've been grafted in the vine. So we're supposed to take on the nature and the mind of the church, which is, if I seek God, everything else is going to take care of itself. Psalm 34 and 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, God has obligated himself to provide what you need, not what you want. See, people get mixed up and messed up because they're upset because God didn't meet their prayer. But what did James say? He said, you ask amiss that he may consume it upon your own lusts. God's not obligated to meet your desire for a quarter pounder with cheese and French fries and a Coke. That meal may come in the form of a hot dog. Hot dog. But God will provide. There's a difference between a want and a need. And God will meet the need. I remember, I'm going to show you the difference between a want and a need. I was one of those people, I still am, that I will drive until I see the gas light come on, and I still will go 25 or 30 miles just because I hate getting gas. I mean, I know it drives people crazy. People will get in and say, brother, you think you need to get gas? Oh, no, I'm good. I'm good. We can go wow. I'll go to Alec with the light on. I just hate getting gas. And I remember when I was a teenager, I had a 87 Jeep Cherokee, and it wouldn't start. And so I told my dad, I said, hey, Dad, something wrong with my truck. So he went out and looked at it. He come back in. He said, I know what's wrong with it. And I said, what? He said, there's no gas in it. I said, well, I pray for him, because I heard a missionary come through that told a story about pray. He didn't have gas, and he prayed for his vehicle, and it just kept on going good ways. And I said, well, I prayed for it. He said, well, you might want to put some gas in it. That was a want, because I didn't want to spend my money on gas, so I just prayed for it. But I also can tell you a time when I was pulling the RV to go preach up by Brent. We were parking in Branson. And I didn't take into consideration how much fuel mileage drops when you get in the mountains pulling an RV. I knew I got 9 miles to the gallon on flat land. I didn't factor into going to 4 miles to the gallon in mountains. And so before I hit the mountains in Conway, I looked and I thought, did the math, I'm good. I can make it. Until we started getting south to Hollister and the light comes on, and we still had a ways to go. But you know what I said? I can make it. And turned off, missed our road, the needle was all the way. I knew I was out of diesel. There was no way possible. I just kept waiting for it to leave me on the side of the mountain. And I missed my turn, and we kept going all the way around Table Rock Lake. And finally, I just pulled up in somebody's driveway on a hill. And I went up there, got the person. I said, what's the quickest way to get back? Told him where I was going. I was going all the way up by Silver Dollar City, which if you know anything about Branson, when you're on the other side of Table Rock Lake, that's a long ways to go. And he said, you need to go back the way you came. I said, you get out in that road and make sure I don't run off the side of this mountain or hit somebody and we'll turn around. Drove all the way back. Now, keep in mind, I only had about 20 miles when the light would go on to make it. And I've been pulling at 4 miles of the gallon, and I've been covering some ground. The whole time, it was pinned all the way to the left. Went all the way back around that lake, all the way up by Silver Dollar City, parked it, kept it running. I said, where's the nearest gas station? All the way back down on the strip. Drove all the way back down to the gas station. Started putting gas in, or diesel. And then I told my girls, I said, now that I knew I wasn't stranded and God did do a miracle, I said, I want y'all to know, we were supposed to run out of gas a long time ago. You know the difference? One was a need. The other one was a want. God will meet your needs. But don't you get upset with him if he's not meeting your wants. Be thankful he met the need. So he says, seek. I hope y'all brought a snicker tonight because I'm just getting started. Seek his kingdom. By seeking his kingdom and putting his kingdom first, we're saying, his kingdom matters more than my kingdom. See, everybody tries to build their own kingdom. You come in this world starting to grab things, want things, mine, my toys, my this, my that. All throughout life, you're buying a house, you're having a family, you're establishing identity. And the crazy thing about life is by the time you got it all figured out, it's over. It's over. Everybody wants to have the big, big, big. They get up in years, they start downsizing. Because they figured out it ain't all about that. And everything, Brother Spanky, that they spent life accumulating, building their kingdom, they got to leave it for somebody else that doesn't appreciate it like you appreciated it. See, if you are interested in building your kingdom, it's temporal. It might mean something to you, but it ain't going to mean to somebody else what it meant to you. So he said, if you'll seek my kingdom, it's an eternal kingdom. You lay up treasures beyond what you see down here, where moth and rust doth not corrupt. He said, then you seek my righteousness. Bible says that he imputes unto us righteousness. That's a legal term. He grants righteousness. Because the Bible says that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You can't be good enough to earn God's love. You can't be good enough to inherit God's favor. So he says, nobody will ever be able to attain my righteousness, so I'm going to impute it unto them. I'm going to grant it unto them. And he says, you seek to walk in my righteousness. We are made righteous. We are not righteous. We are made righteous. So then, once you seek the Lord, you seek his kingdom. You seek his righteousness. Then we need to seek his strength and his face. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember, God's a God of balance. Everybody clap your hands unto the Lord right now. Touch your neighbor and say, hang with him. All right. I ain't preached behind this thing in many, many years. God's a God of balance. So we seek his strength and we seek his face. What happens is we can get so caught up in seeking his power, his strength, and neglect his face or his presence. Because it's so easy to go to prayer and start, okay, Lord, I need this. God, I need you to work in this, and I need you to do this, and I, God, I need this. And what you're doing is you're seeking the strength of God, but ignoring the face of God.
See, we want his presence. But he wants to give us his presence. You can have his presence without his presence. But if you get his presence, you'll always get his presence. Don't get caught up in wanting the gift and ignore the giver of the gift. You get the giver, you automatically get the gift working in your favor. This is what the psalmist said. He said, praise him for his excellent greatness. Praise him according to his mighty acts. Balance. One is face, one is strength. Excellent greatness is who he is. It's his face, it's his countenance, it's his presence. His mighty acts is his strength. It's his presence. Everything's about balance. You can get so caught up in seeking his face that you feel guilty asking him to do anything for you. But you should never feel guilty going to God, bringing your petition before the Lord, because it's biblical to cast all our cares upon him. He wants us to come and with our petitions. He's not saying don't come ask me for nothing. He's saying don't get so caught up asking me to work for you that you don't spend time in my presence, letting me change you. When Moses came out that down that mountain, Bible says that his face shone. He had spent time in the presence of God. We got to spend time in the presence of the Lord. We got to spend time. This is what he says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my strength. No. Seek my face. Seek my presence. And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It would do you good to go to prayer every now and then and say, God, I'm not here to ask you for anything except your presence. Spend time worshiping. Turn you on some gospel music and sing unto the. Hey, it's perfectly in order to sing unto the Lord. What do you think the Psalms are? Change up your approach. Don't get in that rut of just constantly bombarding God, wanting him to do something. You go to him and say, I want to do something for you today, God. I just want to spend time worshiping you. I just want to spend time praising you, seeking his face. Next thing that we need to seek, this is a progression. It's going to build. When you start seeking the Lord, you're going to seek his kingdom, his righteousness, his strength, his face. But then you need to seek his word. Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Prayer without his word is like a car with only gas and no oil. It takes both. How can you know God if you don't read his word? He is the word. Why is it we spend all of our time talking to God, but we never want him to talk to us through his word? Now, we want a word from everybody else. But let me tell you, the greatest word you could get is right here in this book. It's applicable to every season of life that you're in. I can't tell you how many times I've needed a word from God, and I just start reading, and there it is. Speaks exactly to my circumstance, right where I'm at in his word. You know, it would amaze you how many people that have the Holy Ghost, been in church years and years and years, but they've never read the whole Bible. It would blow your mind.
I want to know everything I can about God. I want to know him from cover to cover, even the begats, even if I don't understand them, it don't matter. They're in there for a reason. If we want to know God, we've got to know his word and seek it. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 28 and 8, "Now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever." You know, I think one of the greatest treasures someone could leave their children is a used Bible. They can get a new Bible at the store and write your name in it. But when they see mama and daddy's Bible that's been prayed through, that's been cried in, that's been marked up, that's an indicator that they walked with the Lord. You gotta get in that book. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How are you going to know where to step if you don't open the book? And there's a lot of stuff that a pastor doesn't have to answer if you let the book answer it. I'm going to hit this while I'm here as gently as I can. I got a duty to support the whole book. Period. Now, why, Brother Black, why would a parent not want a preacher to support the whole book when it comes to their children? I want them saved, period. So we got to love it from cover to cover. Amen. The whole book. Even the parts we don't like. You know, you go through school and you hear people say, "I don't know why I need chemistry. I'll never use it." I was right about that. Or math, which you need math. You need to learn math. Not this new math. You need to go back and learn the old math that was right. You know, you'll be drawing circles a long time at McDonald's trying to figure out how much money you need to pay with this new circle drawing business. Hot food, McDonald's. Hey, man, I'm hungry. I went past 5 minutes. But there's nothing in all of my Sunday school classes that I could ever say I won't need that. You're going to need it. Even if you don't think you're going to need it, there's going to be something happening in your life. You're going to need the book. It isn't like chemistry. It isn't like accounting. You're going to need the book. Watch this. Once we seek the Lord, he's going to begin to change us. What's that old song? Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. There ought to be. Because when you get God in here, it's going to start manifesting itself outwardly. Amen. But it's when we get God on the inside, then we can obey Amos 5:14. He says, "Seek good and not evil, that ye may live." See, the old nature is to seek evil. Seek the wrong kind of crowd. Seek the wrong kind of parties. Seek the wrong kind of entertainment. You're always seeking the wrong stuff because you're seeking to please self. But when you come to God, when you seek the Lord, then you're going to seek good. Everybody clap your hands unto the Lord right now. I I'm the shortest preacher you've heard in 8 weeks, okay? Hang with me. If you allow your flesh to lead you, you're going to seek evil. This is what Isaiah 1:17 said. Learn to do well. You got to learn to do well. How do you learn to do well? The Holy Ghost. Your carnal nature isn't going to teach you to do well. God's going to teach you to treat people right. God's going to teach you how to love. How's he going to teach you? By sending somebody that you don't like. You can't learn to forgive unless there's somebody you need to forgive. You can't learn to love unless there's somebody you need to love. You can't learn to be patient unless there's somebody that's testing your nerves, dancing all over your nerves. We want to learn through a shout and a run. That's not how you learn. You learn knowledge in here. You learn application out there. It's how you learn to live for God. This ain't living for God. Okay, this ain't living for God. If all you're doing is coming to church, you're not living for God. Unless all you're doing is living on Mondays and Wednesdays. But you're breathing between Monday and Wednesday. So you learn to live for God out there. You apply it out there. And so you have to learn to do well. So let's look at what God hates. Proverbs 6:17. He said, I hate a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth a wicked imagination, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Watch this. Feet that be swift to run to mischief. You ever known anybody that any type of drama, their name was kind of somewhere in the middle of it? You know what that is? Feet that are swift to run to mischief. Don't be that person. Don't be that person that's always wanting to be in the middle of all of it. You know what? I've learned there's a lot of peace in being able to say, I don't know. I have no clue what you're talking about right now. The more you know, the more you're accountable for. So be happy not knowing. So I have social media. People say, well, I posted on social media. I don't have social media. If it's on social, I don't see what's happening on social media. And I love it. Don't be one of those people that's always caught up in the bad. Seek to do good. When you seek to do good, you're fulfilling another instruction regarding what we should seek, found in 1 Corinthians 14:12. Watch this. Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. What's Paul saying? He said, you need to try to be the best church member you could be. Be the best saint you could be. I want to be a church member that edifies the body, not infects the body. I've seen some infections. What is a true evangelist does? It's an inspection for the infection. A true evangelist will go in there and start trying to dig around and figure out what's going on and find the infection and get rid of it so the body could be edified. Amen. 1 Peter 3:11, let him seek peace and pursue it. Don't try to keep the peace. Seek to make the peace. If you know there's something wrong between you and somebody, don't wait on them to come to you. Seek it. Go make it. Make peace. There's nothing that I like less. No more. There's nothing I dislike more. Okay, now I'm on the right page here. It's fixing to
than tension. You know what it's like to be in the same room with somebody that you just know that there's something there and nobody wants to acknowledge it? Hey, how you doing? Good. Good. No, bunch of liars. You know you're both lying. Y'all just want to claw and fight right now and want to act like, oh, I'm good. Oh, no, I'm good. No, just get it over with. Just get all the cards on the table. Deal with it. Put it under the blood. Move on. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, he might be talking to you. Stand with me. Everybody said amen. Amen. I might have y'all sit back down. Y'all didn't know I could preach this long. I still got plenty of water. Last thing we need to seek for, musicians, you could come, is we need to seek to make it to heaven. If we're in this for any other reason than to spend eternity with the Lord, we're wasting our time. I used to tell my young people, sin's fun. Somebody tells you sin ain't fun, they just didn't do the right sinning. Now, the consequences of sin are horrible. But if it wasn't fun, people wouldn't be out there doing it. I mean, who wants to go do something that's not fun? The devil wouldn't tempt people with staring at paint staring at wet paint on a wall, okay? He wants to make it alluring to the flesh. He don't show you the after effects. He just tempts you with a good time. Sin's fun. And I used to tell you, if you're going to live for the world, you be the best at it. Go drink it up. Smoke it up. Snort it up. Sleep it up. Go have fun. But if you're going to live for God, live for God. Be the best you can at living for God. What I was trying to tell them is don't just be right there in the middle. Because what good it would be if you spend your, would it be if you spent your whole time going to church and then missed it? We're in this thing to make it. We're not here just to go through rituals. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Paul tells us in Romans 2 and 7, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Hebrews 13 and 14 says, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. There's a heaven waiting on us, folks. There's streets of gold, walls of jasper, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what he hath prepared for them that love him. My question today is, what seek ye? There's a game, I'm sure it's been around for years. I'm sure many of us have played it. Anybody ever played the game Life? Anybody know what board games are? Okay. They over here, they really not big on it, but you know, you unbox that, you just lay it all out. You got your little car, you got your vehicle, you can choose your career, you go to college, you add your spouse, you add your kids, you make money, you get a dog, you build a life, you do all of it to the end. But when it's all over, you know what happens? Put it all in a box and it's over. Same thing that happens with us. You choose your spouse, you choose your career, you go through life, you do everything that we think is important, but one day they're going to put it in a box. Nothing matters once it's in the box. All that money you made don't matter. Family you had, you prayed for their souls, but it's just you in a box. The only thing that matters is what did you spend your life seeking? Did you seek everything down here? Or did you make sure you prepared for the other side? I believe it'd be fitting and in order for us to make our way to this altar. Find us a place to pray and ask God to realign our vision. When you get to this altar, I want you to lift your hands toward heaven and say, God, I want to make sure I'm seeking the right thing today.